Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, April 4th, 2014. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are at page 44, chapter 4, We Agnostics, paragraph 1. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Ida L., 12 Traditions, Sarah W., readers of the text, Lauren S., Hoodie R., and Kim G. The reference number for yesterday, Thursday, April 3rd, 2014, is 6128. 6128. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Ida L. to read the 12 steps. Ida L., would you please press star 1. Oh, there you are. Good morning.
Hi. It's Ida L. from Pennsylvania, recovering compulsive overeater, and the 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Pass.
Thank you. I will now ask Sarah W. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for your service, Melanie. This is Sarah W. from Iowa, and I'll be reading the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 44, Paragraph 1, at the very beginning of Chapter 4, We Agnostics. I will ask Lauren S. to begin reading.
Okay. Lauren S., recovered compulsive overeater from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Chapter 4, We Agnostics. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, and find you cannot quit entirely, or if, when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Okay. Oh, gee whiz. Step one, which now we are entering the unmanageability of our lives on page 44, 45 in the middle of 52. And the second half of step one, the unmanageability, untreated compulsive overeating or our spiritual malady. And I was taught that this condition, this exists before and after the first bite, drunk on food or sober. And this for me is very helpful to understand at finishing step one, because, you know, today I'm recovered. I don't have the obsession with food. I also don't have the allergy triggered. But that's not enough. There's something else. This is a three-part disease. I hear people say two-part. There's three parts to this. There's something driving me to be restless, irritable, discontent. Where it's the root of it all. There's something other than just mental and physical. Because I'm recovered today from mental and physical. But I'm not cured. So what is that? It's for me, it's the spiritual malady, which is what keeps me practicing this program, trusting in my Lord, and helping God's kids. I have to, because of my spiritual unmanageability, never will be cured. Never will be cured. My mental obsession is recovered. My physical allergy is recovered. My spiritual unmanageability will never be cured. Okay. And this paragraph, you know, oh, gee whiz, we have these questionnaires, you know, 10 reasons you're a compulsive overeater. I think alcoholics have up to 44 questions now, you know. Do you drink in the morning? Do you drink at work? Do you have a bad reputation? There's two questions, a two-question questionnaire, and that is, when you want to, can you quit entirely? Or, whenever you are compulsively overeating, can you control how much you take? So what's that little summary? Can you stay stopped, or can you stop when you start? Two questions. Okay. Thank you very much. I'll pass.
Thank you. Who would like to comment on what was read?
Good morning, Bella. Can I share?
Hi, good morning, Bella. Yes.
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Bella, and I'm a thankful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Melanie, for doing this service, and thank you very much, everybody that is on the line. I love this paragraph. It's a paragraph with a hope. Yes, there is a hope. We hope we have made clear. It's a hope, yes. And why it's a hope? Because it brings me like the same feeling like a baby when he starts to walk. You know, we don't put a baby to walk when he's 2 months old, when he's 3 months old. We are waiting till he is ready. When he is ready, if he's 12 months old, if he's 13 months old, it doesn't matter. When we feel that he is ready, that he is able to start to do his first steps, then when we will let him to walk. We know that he might fall. We know that he will not walk straight right in the beginning, but we trust him. And this is exactly what he says here. Why he has to, again, to let us know if we are real compulsive overeater? Because this is the safe and secure feeling. Yes. If you feel and if you know and if you face the reality that you are a compulsive overeater, just accept it and love yourself and love this fact, because there is a solution. And the solution is a spiritual path. Don't worry. You don't have to stay forever in this disease. Don't worry, there is a solution. It's a hope. But we have to accept 100% perfectly step number one. We accept and admit that we are powerless. And yes, it's a wonderful thing. It's a freedom. It's a peaceful mind that, yes, thank you, God, that I came to this point and I can say very happy, yes, I am powerless. I am powerless of the food because I am connected to God. Yes, and I accept this and I am happy and thankful that I can be connected to God, and this is my solution. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Bella. Who else would like to share on what was read?
This is Jenna.
Sally.
Hi, Jenna. Sally. And I heard one more person.
Kim.
Is that Kim? Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, so Janice M, Sally A, and then Kim G in that order. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, my dear Melanie. Thank you for your service. My name is Janice M, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. This is the paragraph I send people to.
to guide them, to help them, to really see if they are an a compulsive overeater. Now, we've gone through four chapters. The four chapters are chapters that the recovered alcoholics have taught us if we are or if we're not a compulsive overeater. They say alcoholism. Well, for me, it's compulsive overeating. So these four chapters, what have they taught me? Well, first of all, they taught me that I don't have any willpower. I mean, they've given us examples after examples. And what else have they taught me? Well, I don't have the knowledge. Knowledge isn't going to fix what I have. And my good character is not going to fix what I have. And I'm not going to be able to solve my own problem. So what is the problem? Well, the problem is that, okay, if when you honestly want to, you cannot quit entirely, which means, oh, yeah, I can quit, but can I quit entirely when I'm stopped? No. That's the obsession of the mind, which is part of my twofold disease. Now, what is the other self-diagnosis for myself? Well, once I start picking up certain substances, can I control the amount that I put in my system? Or, as the doctor opinions told us, that if you are one of us, that when you pick up that particular substance and it produces a phenomenon of craving that no other non-alcoholic, non-compulsive overeater that happens to, then you are one of us. So it's a self-diagnostic tool right here. Very, very important. Now, if you honestly can say to yourself, yeah, that's me, that's me, that's me. We've learned it in four chapters previous to this. Then, I am powerless. I don't have the power. I lack power. Yes. Now, what's the solution? A spiritual experience. Because from my experience, I've tried all kinds of other methods. So they're telling us, if you have this problem, this is the solution. We know what the problem is. We just went through four chapters. The allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. And it's a great self-diagnostic. I love this paragraph. And you can diagnose yourself. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice. Sally A.?
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you for your service. Sally, recovered in South Jersey. So I want to speak to this sentence. It's when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely. Or if when drinking you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. They've already told us that they're going to help us make the distinction. We hope you've made a clear distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. But when I read this, but if when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely. First of all, I'm reminded of Bill's story on page 5. It's the fourth paragraph down when he says, I woke up. This had to be stopped. I saw I could not take so much as one drink. I was through forever. Before then, I had written lots of sweet promises. But my wife happily observed that this time I meant business. And so I did. And so many of us have had days like this where we were walking through dark woods, and we were binging our brains out, and we suddenly woke up one morning and said to ourselves, oh my gosh, this has to stop. My gosh, what am I doing? Just like Bill did here in this page 5. So when it says, if when you honestly want to, now it looks like Bill finally, he really wants to. And yes, he cannot quit entirely, because we see in the next paragraph at the bottom of that page, page 5, shortly afterward, I came home drunk. And so many of us can relate to this. This is such a clear picture of my years of being in the food, binging, and not really getting it, not really getting step one, that I couldn't, especially this part at the end of this paragraph that we just read, that you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Even for the many years that I was white-knuckling my way through, for 5 years that I put the sugar and the flour down, that I stopped watching TV, I was stopping certain behaviors. I was stopping certain foods. And yet I didn't get that it was still a spiritual experience that was going to conquer this. I was still mustering on a morning-by-morning basis. I was mustering the whatever it would take, whether it was the 3 phone calls or the 3 meetings or whatever it would take to put this food down, to stop this compulsive behavior, to stop the insanity. When ultimately, here we see step one, when you honestly want to, this is the question you have to ask yourself today. Do you honestly, really, are you ready? Do you honestly want to stop the insanity? And if you can honestly say, yes, Sally, I do really want to stop the insanity, please take another look at step one. We admitted is, yes, the important first 2 words. We admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. We are powerless. Only a spiritual experience will conquer us. And here we are in We Agnostics, and they're going to help us to become more comfortable in a relationship with the higher power of our choosing, of our understanding. Thanks for letting me share with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sally. Kim G., you're next.
Thanks, Melanie. Hi, my name is Kim G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. Well, let me tell you, I was in LA for 17 years, and in our meetings they would say, are there any other compulsive overeaters besides myself? And I would raise my hand. But I have to tell you, I raised my hand saying, I am fat, and I don't want to be fat anymore. I didn't understand the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. That wasn't really described very well in the room. It's described beautifully in the preceding pages. You know, we have this twofold illness. If we only have one fold of it, we're not a compulsive overeater. You know, I definitely have friends that say to me, Kim, I don't know what it is. I open up a bag of Doritos and I can't stop. It's impossible for me to stop. And I'm like, really? So what do you do? I just don't open up the bag of Doritos. I'm like, oh, okay. That's not a compulsive overeater. They have the sanity to make the decision because they understand they can't stop. I also have another friend who's obsessed with chocolate. She thinks about it all day long. And she comes home and she's got a bag of Hershey Kisses. And she has one Hershey Kiss. And it's like, ah. And she's satisfied. She's not a compulsive overeater. She has this obsession of the mind around chocolate. But because she doesn't have the allergy, she becomes satisfied once she has the chocolate. So it's unless we have both aspects of this disease, we're not a compulsive overeater. And the irony, I think, is when someone comes in and you tell them they're a compulsive overeater, they're going to fight you tooth and nail. You can't tell me who I am. But also, too, when you start to ask someone questions and you say, you know what, maybe you're not a compulsive overeater, like, well, you can't tell me what I'm not. Because if someone comes in and they're just simply, you know, looking for a diet and a diet works for them and they just don't want to pay for it, so they come to Overeaters Anonymous, then we should encourage them to go to a conventional diet program. If someone's going through a very difficult time in their life and they've been emotionally eating, I always thought I was an emotional eater, and if that is your reality, if you really have a difficult time and you're using food as a coping mechanism and you do not have the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, then maybe counseling will work for you. And we should encourage people to do that. Because we have to be clear on what the distinction is between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. Because if at this point in the game, we can honestly say that we are not a compulsive overeater, say congratulations, you don't need to go through the rest of the book. Because maybe therapy will help you. Maybe a nutritionist just letting you know what is appropriate to eat will help you. But let me tell you, if that is not your reality, if you have this allergy to the body, which means you can no longer reasonably predict how much you're going to have when you pick up a substance. And if when you put it down, you cannot get comfortable being abstinent. Because we learned in the last chapter, our real problem is We are so uncomfortable being abstinent. The only thing that we feel will keep us easy, give us ease and comfort is the food. If that is your reality, and we have to be very clear if that is our reality, it's going to tell us in that last sentence, if that be the case, we cannot get comfortable in abstinence. And once we pick up, we can no longer reasonably predict how much we're going to eat. If that is the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And when we're convinced that that is our case, and we accept that only a spiritual experience will conquer it, that is when the rest of the book is needed. If that is not your reality, if you're not convinced of that, or maybe you're more not a compulsive overeater, maybe there are other avenues you can pursue, then really we can just close the book and you can pursue those other avenues. And with that, I pass.
Thank you. Who else would like to comment on what was read?
Monica.
Larry.
I hear Monica and then Larry.
So,
hello, Monica.
Leah.
Monica, then Leah, and then Raquel and Leah. Thank you.
Sharon,
go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, Melanie. Thank you, everyone. My name is Monica, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. So here we are, chapter four. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. And so here we've gained a lot of knowledge in those preceding chapters. And this one says, we agnostics. What? We agnostics? I'm not an agnostic. And what is an agnostic? It's one who believes the existence or non-existence of God cannot be proven or known, or a person unsure that God or God exists. And at the bottom of this paragraph, it says, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And here's the title of this chapter, We Agnostics. And I need a spiritual experience. Whoa. I'm not too sure about all of this, you know. And I'm not too sure about this God thing. Or the other side of the coin, and this is where I was coming from, was, well, I'm a religious person. I have a faith. I have practiced in my faith all my life. But we've also learned that, you know, there was something missing. There was something missing. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been still trying to solve the problem myself. Or all my attempts of trying to solve the problem myself would have worked. And they're saying here, only a spiritual experience will conquer. So we're dealing with step two here. You know, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So if I need a power greater than me. So I like going back to we agnostics. A-G, ag, means without. Gnostics means knowledge. And I like to look at the title of this chapter as We Without Knowledge. I was missing something. I didn't have something. I did not have that relationship with a higher power that I needed that would solve my problem. And so this chapter is going to give me lots of different ways to try to get me to change my ideas, my prejudices, my old ideas about this higher power or about a higher power so that I can set aside those old ideas and allow something new to come in so that I can say, yeah, okay, I can believe that there's something greater than me. Because they're saying here, I am going to have to believe in something greater than me that's going to be able to work here. And with that, I will pass. And there is. And I pass.
Thank you, Monica. Raquel, you're next.
Yes. Hello. Thank you so much for being there in this wonderful lesson. And I think I finally just have one line that I would like to say over and over again, that about diagnosing and knowing at what point you either are going to go on with the program or you are going to go back to where you came from, which is going to the bitter end, that on page 60 it says that the three pertinent ideas that we're alcoholics and could not manage our lives, that probably no human power could have relieved that, and that God could and would if he were sought. And that, I would, being convinced we were at step three, I just want to mention that in the original manuscript, which I can't find the book right now, this little red book in which at the back there is a little bit of the original manuscript, it says a sentence that did not get into the big book as we have it in front of us now after the 100 recovered people went over it. And the sentence is, if you came to this point and you were not convinced yet, either go back to step one or throw the book away. That's what he said, exactly. Everybody online who has this access to that manuscript can look it up. Either go back to step one or throw the book away. So it takes a very long time took me a very long time to realize that I have still not done step one as I need to do in order to go on, let alone two and three. So just that, going again and again and again and listening to the people, I realize so well why me and many others cannot proceed, even if we do all the motions and if I go all the way to step 12 and go over it again and again. If at this point I am not convinced deep in my innermost self of these three pertinent ideas, it's no use. You know, I'm just the pain of climbing up a few steps on the mountain and rolling back down and climbing up endlessly. So yes, either go back to step one. It's not like the viciousness of a sponsor who used to send me back to step one to start and answer that many questions. That's what I had to do, to go back and answer and look at it again and experience again until I am totally convinced. Otherwise, all the rest of the steps don't make any sense. So I'm very glad I didn't throw the book away but continued, and that I have now these wonderful 5 years and 3 months and 2 weeks and 6 days, and I count them like jewels and like the most precious thing I have, and hope that until the end of this day, it will continue that way, and God be with me and with everyone on the line. If I can do it, everyone online can do it. Believe me. And I love you all, and have a God-blessed day, and I pass.
Thank you, Raquel. Larry, I did call out of order. My apologies to you. Are you able to share now?
Sure. Yeah, no problem.
Hi, Larry. Thanks. Go ahead. Larry from Chicago.
Oh, you bet. You bet. Larry, recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. Yeah, I'll just focus on, we've talked about, the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, and, you know, we got to get clear on that, you know, but in the last line, so if that be the case, it was the case for me, all right, at some point I realized that was the case for me. And it says, I may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. You know, the word conquer, to defeat, to gain control over, you know, a problem, to subdue, to dominate. You know, I'm no longer dominated by candy. I'm dominated by God. That's what's been conquered. But, you know, beyond the food, you know, because sometimes we come into program and we think it's the alcohol, the food, that's my problem. What was conquered for me? Well, here it is. I mean, I'm no longer restless, irritable, and discontented. I'm no longer having trouble with personal relationships. I can control my emotional nature today. That's what's been conquered. I'm no longer prey to misery and depression and anxiety. I didn't do that for myself. You know, I can make a living today. I lead a happy, successful life. I don't have feelings of uselessness. I'm not full of fear that ruled my life, unhappy, inability. I can be of help to other people, and boy, they come in droves, and I love it. It's terrific. It's the bright spot of my life today. You know, I'm no longer like the actor who wants to run the whole show, you know, directing everything. I was driven before this was conquered, I was driven by a hundred anger, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. My self-will, I was leading a double life. You know, I was like a tornado running through the lives of others, you know, just blowing them about. And then when, you know, the wind stopped blowing, wondering why they had a problem with it. I don't live my life like that anyway today, you know, anymore. You know, exhibiting selfish and inconsiderate habits. Because I'm conquered by God today. That's the only reason. You know, left to my own devices, I'd be into the food. That's the least of what I'd be into. You know, I thought that was my problem. Just get a hold of that, control that. Today, all those things that I mentioned, that's what God conquered for me. So I'm dominated by a higher power of my understanding that directs my life, and I ask for that higher power to show me, to align my will with His will today, with its will today. Doesn't matter what your conception is. It's just not me today. So that's very grateful for this program. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Larry. Leah M., you're next.
Thanks, Melanie, for your service. Good morning, everybody. My name's Leah. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. That is the news for someone like me. Do I have an allergy of the body? Check. Do I have an obsession of the mind? Check. All I had to do was review my compulsive overeating career to see that that was the case for someone like me. So I was rendered powerless. That was my conclusion. Wasn't a conclusion of the intellect. It was a conclusion of the wounds. You know, the conclusion of that process of compulsive overeating, my career, that inside my skin, my body, my mind, my will, my intellect, my self-knowledge, my determination, my motivation, you know, I had no effective power with respect to my binge foods. I had no choice. That mental obsession condemned me to continue to eat when I didn't want to, and the phenomenon of craving condemned me to continue binging once I started. And even when I was not compulsively overeating, and there were times, and even when there were times when I wasn't even thinking about compulsively overeating, because there were time periods where that was the case, my life was unmanageable. I was restless. I was irritable. I was discontent. I felt on edge. I was impatient. You know, my efforts, any efforts that I put towards this, all that energy that I have within inside of me, all my desire, all my wishes, all my necessity to recover, you know, that had not delivered the hoped-for results. I was still restless, irritable, and discontent. And at some point, much like a ticking time bomb, you know, I would have to dig my fists into a cellophane bag and a bakery box. I just couldn't take it anymore. You can only hold your breath underwater for so long. So again, you know, if that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. I mean, the big book is quite kind here. You may be. I mean, they suggested to me, hey, Leah, you know, when you are exhausted enough by this disease, when it has beat you down and you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, there is a way out. Because once you've accepted step one, dear Leah, and your life has become unmanageable, dear Leah, then you've realized that to continue compulsively overeating means continued torture, suffering, and disaster. So does continuing to rely entirely on yourself to stop compulsively overeating, because that had proved futile. So if I already knew that I couldn't rely on myself, then my choices narrowed down to either relying on some power greater than myself, a spiritual experience like they're talking about here, or be doomed to a compulsive overeater's death, which I was quite close to. So the big book is going to tell me in a bit that those aren't easy alternatives to face, but that was where I came down to. There was no door number three. God was coming in through the wound, my wound, of compulsively overeating, that wound. You know, so lack of power was my dilemma. And this was about raising of the dead. This was about being enslaved by compulsive overeating and rising up out of a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. There was a solution. There was a way out. It wasn't going to be physical. It wasn't going to have to do with humans. It wasn't going to be material. It was going to be in the fourth dimension. It was going to be in the world of the spirit. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Leah. Who else would like to share on this paragraph before we move on? Okay, I'll take that as a time to pass on. Puti R., would you please read the second paragraph on page 44?
Hi, good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. This is Puti R. from Israel. To one who feels he's an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible, but to continue as he is means disaster, especially if it is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. And just to review here, in the agnostic, so we're talking to the atheist or the agnostic, and yes, this experience seems impossible. Like, you know, we hear it seems hopeless. It seems because of the state of the mind that we are in at the time in disease, in that bitter morass of self-pity, resentment, of being totally numbed out. But to continue as he is means disaster. And that's where I felt, you know, I had, as we heard before, I had two choices. I had to make a decision. Either I could continue on, and which meant death, continue as I was going, in by myself, being that actor, running the whole show, or I could just say, okay, I am desperate, I am doomed, and done. I am ready, and I'm ready to move on. And accept what this program has to offer, because these people have something that I want, and I see there is something peaceful, something I'm happy about it, and, you know, there's no other way. And you know what? Yes, it might be difficult to take that step, because, you know, it may be difficult. But what we heard online once before is I don't know, it's something that it is, it's what I don't know what won't kill me, but what I do know, and I know that this disease is just progressive, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse, and I better do something about it if I want to live happy and healthy and joy. And with joy. And with that, thank you for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Hoodie. Who would like to share on what was just read?
This is Sarah. May I share?
This is Sharon.
Sure, hi, Sarah. Sarah W. and then Sharon H. Thank you.
Thank you, Melanie, for your service. Good morning, everybody. My name is Sarah, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. You know, there's so much to what we're reading now, and I was thinking that it's kind of, well, when I think about the last sentence in this paragraph, it says, to be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. Why not? Does that make sense? You know, I either can die or I can pick up the spiritual toolkit, which is really basically the steps of the program. Why is that so difficult? But, you know, the insanity is that, you know, I am different from other people. I think that's what I had the hard time with really conceding to my innermost self that forever, it's not just going to be when I lose my weight, forever I am going to be different from other people. I have this malady. I have this illness. And I am going to live with it the rest of my life, one day at a time. But I can arrest the disease if I'm willing to do these things. And I think the other thing that comes into my mind is, just to go back to that paragraph we read first, the word honest comes into play. It says, if when you honestly want to. You know, I heard a lot of people this morning speak about the willingness, the desire. You know, it says in our tradition, you know, the desire to stop eating compulsively. And I think most people come in and they just want to lose the weight. It's all about what they look like, you know. I think I've heard it said, you know, we come in with vanity and what we find is sanity or something to that extent. But I think, you know, for me, I have to honestly want to stop eating, not to start losing, to stop eating. And most of us don't want to stop. You know, the funny thing is we want our cake and want to eat it too, you know. I mean, we think that, you know, we should be able, because this is the immature mentality that most addicts have. You know, I want what I want when I want it. So I want to eat, but I also want to be thin. And I'm not willing to sacrifice either one of those. And as I've heard before too, the reality is that something, you know, something has to go. You know, like we have to be willing to offer that up. We have to be willing to offer up the idea that I want more the sanity in my life, and I want to get rid of all these unmanageabilities, which I can do even after I'm through the 9 steps by using 10 and 11 and 12. But, you know, I have to be willing to want to honestly stop eating compulsively. And I do today, and I'm grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Sharon H., you're next.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Sharon H. in Colorado, recovered compulsive overeater. And, you know, I looked at this, the first paragraph where there's three ifs and then one fact, because I missed so many of the facts in regards to my compulsive overeating. And the first if is, if you honestly want to. And I thought I did. But I see now, you know, it was more about the outward appearance. It was more about it really was. I wanted to lose the weight, and then my lie that I told myself was that, you know, if I lose the weight, then somehow, some way, I'll be able to go back and always eat the same way but not suffer the consequences. So these two ifs are facts for me today, that when I found that I cannot quit entirely, or when I am eating, I have little control over the amount that I take. And I had to cross out probably and say, yes, I am a compulsive overeater. And then it gives me another if. If that be the case, then I'm suffering from this illness, and only a spiritual experience is going to conquer it. And then I go down to this next paragraph, and to be doomed to be an alcoholic, to an alcoholic death, and I was a dead woman walking around, or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. But when I came in here in July of 2012 and God shined that light into this stubborn, closed mind of mine to show me that I had exactly this issue with the food, and I was willing to then choose to surrender that to this God. And then what has happened to me is a process of working through this step that he leads me beside quiet waters, because I was always addicted to speed and, life being fast, 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 and noise and chaos and all of those things. Those were all the unmanageability in my life as a result of living a lie. And then through the process of steps 4 through 9, he restored my mind and body, that I do not have to go back and take that first bite. He restores my soul. And then he guides me through these steps to learn how to live in these steps one day at a time, now in 10, 11, and 12. I still do get restless, irritable, and discontent. The difference is today I know I must do what I must do, doing a quick step 10, confessing that to God and another human being, whether it's fear, restless, discontent, And then I am restored once again. And what a beautiful way to live. And then I am able to be there for other people like I never thought I could be, because I could never stay absent. So I'm just so grateful to be here today. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you, Sharon. The time allows for one share or two shorter shares. Is there anyone else out there that would like to share on what was read?
Hi, this is Sandy C. in Boston.
Hi, Sandy. Sandy C.
Sandy D. in New York, recovered compulsive overeater.
Sandy D., welcome. Time is for you to share.
Thank you, Melanie. I just want to say that I just love the way these chapters are built like blocks, one on top of the other. When I found out that I had an allergy, I wasn't willing to try this. And then when I found out I had an obsession, you know, maybe I still wasn't willing to try this. But by the time I get to chapter four and I understand through Bill's story, the suffering, and I understand through more about alcoholism, the more insanity with all the examples, and there is a solution, more about the obsession. By the time I get to We Agnostics, I understand that I am out of ideas. I am out of ideas. I am doomed, and only a spiritual experience will conquer my illness. So when I know, when I really know in my heart that I'm out of ideas, that's the only time that I'm willing to accept this alternative as a way of life. Thank you, Melanie. I pass.
Oh, thank you, Sandy. Well, with that, we do have time for one more share. Does anybody else like to share on what was read before we close this meeting? Hi, Kathy. It's your turn. Thank you.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Kathy K., a recovered compulsive overeater. And, you know, it took me reading these four chapters many times over before I was willing to consider that I could live on a spiritual basis. I was such a diehard agnostic. And it was only by reading, reflecting, listening, and acting as if I had a higher power that I could turn to, that I started that shell of defensiveness and I forget the other word that's used in the big book, but that unwillingness to have an open mind, contempt is the word I'm looking for. I had such contempt that I was not willing to consider the alternative. And because I did not have a lot of weight to lose, I had the faulty view that you know, maybe I could make it without whatever this spiritual basis is. I am so grateful that today I have a vital connection with a higher power, and it was given to me through working the steps and following the suggestions of my sponsor. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathy. And thank you to everyone who has shared. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kim G. please read A Vision for You?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.